out there? Louder! Well, clap your hands to what he's doing. On tempo, Jack.
In contrast to the prophets who repeatedly asserted, thus says the Lord, Jesus was unique in asserting, I am, in his messages. John records Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I am the true vine. You see, when the authorship is narrowed down to the 12 apostles, John seems to be the best candidate since he very likely is the disciple whom Jesus loved, mentioned in John chapter 13 and verse 23. You see, there is a law of connection. Jesus relates like a shepherd to sheep. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, a leader who guides his people as a shepherd leads his sheep. You see, everyone who wants to lead in the kingdom of God must develop certain heart qualifications. Let me say that real slow. Everyone who wants to lead in the kingdom of God must develop certain heart qualifications. The image of the shepherd best captures the heart of a godly leader. Shepherds are tender, sincere, intimate, and loving. They guide, correct, protect, and feed. John contrasts the good shepherd with the hireling. A hireling receives pay for his job, but has no heart for it. Let me say that real slow. A hireling receives pay for his job, but has no heart for it. He watches out for the sheep until he no longer benefits. That's what a hireling is. It's a preacher or a pastor or a bishop, someone who comes into the congregation just for a paycheck. All they're coming for is a paycheck, and they watch out for the sheep until they no longer benefit from the paycheck. Isn't that something? The hireling labors only for the money. The hireling has no heart for the sheep. The hireling leaves when trouble comes, is unfaithful to his master, feeds himself and not the sheep, neglects his sheep, and drives sheep hard and lacks mercy. Isn't that something? That's what a hireling does. Now, the good shepherd, on the other hand, labors out of love, has a heart for the sheep, gives his life or her life for the sheep, faithfully serves his master, feeds the sheep, tenderly cares for the sheep, and leads the sheep wisely. That's what a good shepherd does. I want you to get into John chapter 6 and verse 35. These are the principles that I'm coming from. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 10 and verse 7. John chapter 10 verse 11 and 14. John chapter 11 and verse 25. John chapter 14 verse 6. And John chapter 15 and verse 1. Also John chapter 13 and verse 23. I also want you to look at John chapter 10 and understand the law of connection, because Jesus relates like a shepherd to sheep. I want you to look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd, a leader who guides his people as a shepherd leads his sheep. Enjoy the teaching. This is Ambassador for Christ, Kenneth Jerome Williams. Praise God and bless his name. Now, I want to talk to you about Christians and idols. That's right, I said it. Christians and idols. You see, subjection of self for others and to meet God's approval. Subjection of self for other people and to meet God's approval. The difference between Christians and idols. You see, all of us have knowledge, but such knowledge puffs a person up with pride. Let me say that real slow. All of us have our measure or our level of knowledge. But such knowledge puffs a person up with pride. But love builds up. Let me say that real slow. Love builds a person up. Those who think that they know something really don't know what they ought to know. Let me say that real slow, because all of us have knowledge. So those who think that they know something really don't know what they ought to know. But the person who loves God is known by him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The person who loves God is known by God. Oh, come on, somebody. I might lie to you, and you might lie to me. What I'm really saying is that we can lie to each other all day long, but neither one of us can lie to the Spirit of God. Isn't that something? Those who think that they know something really don't know what they ought to know. But the person who loves God is known by God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. We know that an idol stands for something that does not really exist. Let me say this real slow. Now, I'm talking to you from God's perspective. I'm not talking to you from human intelligence. This is not about intellectualism. This is about the perspective that comes from the mouth of God. We know that an idol stands for something that does not really exist. If you just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4, it will explain that to you. Yet for us, there is only one God. Isn't that something? Yet for us, who are you talking about? I'm talking about the Christians. Yet for us, there is only one God, the Father, who is the creator of all things and for whom we live. And there is only one Lord, Jesus the Christ, through whom all things were created, and through him we live. But not everyone knows this truth. Some people have been so used to idols that to this day, when they eat such food, they still think of it as food that belongs to an idol. Their conscience is weak, and they feel that they are defiled by the food that they eat. Isn't that something? Just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 through 7. And so this weak person, your brother or your sister, for whom Christ died, will perish because of your knowledge. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Just think about that. This weak person could be your brother or your sister for whom Christ has already died, will perish because of your knowledge. And in this way, you will be sinning against Christ by sinning against other Christians and wounding their weak conscience. Let me say this real slow. When I teach the Word of God, I try to teach very clear, very simple, and very plain. The message is for me because I'm one of God's teachers. I'm one of the teachers that's been called into the fivefold ministry. So it's very personal to me. And it's personal to the other leaders because I also am a teacher to the lamb leaders. I teach leaders. Lamb leaders in the body of Christ. So it's important that we as leaders in the body of Christ understand the foundational teaching between Christians and idols, subjection of self for others, and to meet God's approval. We must know this for ourselves. We as leaders must be accounted to God. We have to be accounted for to God and to God alone. And so this weak person, your brother or your sister, for whom Christ has already died and been raised from the grave, will perish because of your knowledge. And in this way, you will be sinning against Christ by sinning against other Christians and wounding their weak conscience. Just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 and verse number 12. I am free from all men. Isn't that something? I am free from all men, but I have enslaved myself to all. This is the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. I am free from all men, but I have enslaved myself to all. You see, I'm free from every man that walks this earth as a man of God who fears the Lord. But I have voluntarily enslaved myself to all because I subject myself for the benefit of other people that I may meet the approval of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Let me say that real slow. I'm a real man of God. I subject myself for other people to meet the approval of God. I am free from all men, but I have enslaved myself to all. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. You see, there's a law of intuition. Let me break this thing down. The law of intuition. Leaders read accurately. Leaders lead accordingly. Leaders always read their situation, then lead their situation. Let me say this real slow. Leaders read accurately. Leaders lead accordingly. Leaders always read their situation, then lead their situation. You see, Paul refused to cling to his past as a Pharisee or to his rights as an apostle. Boom. Somebody just got slapped in the mouth. Let me say this real slow. Paul refused to cling to his past as a Pharisee or to his rights as an apostle. I have the right to be recognized. I have the right to be known as an apostle of Jesus Christ in the fivefold ministry. But I refuse and I withdraw from that right just because I subject myself to others to meet the approval of God. I know who I am. I know who God called me to be. I know what I stand in as a true man that fears God. But my call as an apostle is not that important because that's between me and God. I subject myself because I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I subject myself because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I subject myself because I walk in the apostolic ministry of the fivefold. apostle. I subject myself because I operate as an apostle. I operate as a prophet, and I operate as a fivefold ministry teacher in the body of Christ. I want you to understand there's a law of intuition. Leaders read accurately. They lead accordingly. They always read their situation, and then they lead their situation. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he refused to cling to his past as a Pharisee. He refused to cling to his past as a sinner. I'm not going to cling to my past because I used to be a cold-blooded, raw, ruthless sinner. I'm not going to cling to that, okay? I'm a man of God. I fear God, okay? So I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do on the East Coast. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do in Chicago. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do in Los Angeles, California. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do in Long Beach, in Compton, in Watts, in South Central Los Angeles. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do in San Diego, California. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do when I was in the Persian Gulf War and Desert Shield, hashtag Desert Storm. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do coming up from the South Bridge Projects on Newcastle Avenue in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm not going to cling to the things that I used to do. I want you to understand that. Because why? Because I refuse to cling to my past as a Pharisee or to my rights as an apostle. I'm not looking for recognition from nobody in the body of Christ, because I'm a man who fears God. I'm a man of God. Subjection of self for other people and to meet God's approval. But he laid both aside because they often got in the way of leading the Gentiles. Paul laid both of his titles aside. He laid his past to the side. He laid his rights as an apostle to the side. Why did he lay them to the side? Because they often got in the way of leading God's people. The goal is always more important than the role. Let me say that real slow. The goal is always more important than the role. Y'all better act like y'all know. There is a difference between Christians and idols. Praise God and bless his holy name.